Hey, folks, before I get started with today's show, I want to talk to you about one of the amazing sponsors of this podcast, Onnit. By now, I'm sure you've heard me talking about them, but for the few of you who haven't, listen up. Onnit is a based health and wellness company that focuses on inspiring peak performance through a combination of unique products and actionable information. Strategies coming from leading professionals, from athletes, and from medical practitioners, Onnit has focused on creating earth-grown, nutrient-based supplements and foods, as well as unconventional fitness equipment, all based upon the latest science and research. If you go to onnit.com/chael, onnit.com/chael, you can get 10% off of all of their products right now. Some of the phenomenal products that I personally use, I tell you guys every week about Alpha Brain. It's a complete and balanced nootropic that is designed to enhance focus, mental drive, and memory. In addition, it has also been shown to increase vivid, even lucid dreams. Onnit Warrior Bar. It's delicious. It's made out of buffalo meat. It's got 14 grams of protein. It's based on a recipe that has fueled warriors for centuries. It's only 140 calories. There's no MSG, no soy, no lactose, no nitrates, and it's gluten-free. Also, I want to recommend MCT oil, healthy fats that are found naturally from coconut oil. Unlike other MCT oil, Onnit MCT oil is derived 100% from pure coconut oil, and it contains 30% lauric acid. Trust me, you need that and you want it. These supplements are on the cutting edge of sports nutrition, and I'd like to share them with you. That's why I'm giving my audience a chance to get 10% off of these products by going to onnit.com/chael. It's simple. Just head over to Onnit, onnit.com/chael, onnit.com/chael, and start strengthening your mind and body today.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on podcast1.com. And for that, you're welcome.
Big news. Manny Pacquiao is being sued. Manny Pacquiao fought Floyd Mayweather hurt. He was injured, he's claiming, after the fight, and now people are suing him, saying, hey, we not only paid to watch you, but we gambled and bet our money that you would win, and you didn't disclose your injury. Now, this is a real thing, okay? I'm a Pacquiao fan, but this is a real thing, and I'm glad it's happening, because this is a bunch of crap. Fighters have been doing this for years. They go out, they do a fight, they get beat, and then they come out and say, yeah, but I was hurt. Well, you can't do that. Let me explain this to the fans. The exact same form that you fill out where you must disclose what medications you were on, okay, for the drug test, the exact same form is the form that you fill out saying you're not hiding any injuries. You are not allowed to go out and fight with a hidden injury. This is important because this is regulated through the government. And what does regulated mean? It means it's insured. These athletes are insured through legal policies. You cannot go out there as a damaged product and hide it. It is illegal. And fighters have been claiming to have done it. Most of them are lying. Most of them just want to give an excuse for why they lost. And it may be what Pacquiao's doing. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't care if a guy's lying or telling the truth. I think it's very underhanded to come out after the fact and say it. Now, in Pacquiao's defense, reportedly he did tell the commission. Reportedly he did disclose that he was hurt. If that's true, I don't think he's going to have any problem here. I don't think that he has an obligation to go tell gamblers and fans. He's got the right to show up to work hurt. He's got the right to show up to work sick. So do you guys. You guys are hurt or you don't feel good. If you want to answer the bell when it goes off at 6 a.m. and put your boots on and go to work, you have the right. legally speaking, I don't think there's going to be a pushback here, but I can tell you, I, as a fan, am very tired of this. Guys do this after they lose. They manufacture an injury. Who cares if you're hurt? It doesn't matter. You either won the fight or you didn't. Shut up. And somebody's going to have to pay the price for this. You're not allowed to do it. It's illegal. It's as illegal as failing a drug test. It's the same form. Now, again, Pacquiao is alleging that he told the Nevada State Athletic Commission. So I don't know if he's got a problem here. But this is going to develop, and I think that it's fun. I think there's going to be some fun drama surrounding this. Hey, go over to ChaelSonnen.com. Check out the merchandise. Get yourself a t-shirt. If I see you out in public, I want to know what side you're on. You're wearing one of those t-shirts and you get in a jam. I got your back either way. No questions asked. Stick around. Killer show coming up. John Piamarimi, the longest and most returning guest this show has ever had. He and I went out and we did a press conference in Las Vegas for Global Force Wrestling, a new startup wrestling event, which you guys know is fun for me. I'm a big wrestling fan. I grew up on wrestling, as many of you can relate, and did the same thing. So this was fun for me. We'll see where it goes. They're setting up shop. They got Jeff Jarrett behind it. Nobody has even argued to be a greater mind in wrestling than Jeff Jarrett, except arguably, of course, Vince McMahon. But those two's families have ran wrestling. Really exciting. I had a great time. Going to talk to John a little bit about that. Fill you guys in on my last week. Paige Van Zandt will be coming up later in the show. She's a lot of fun. I've only visited her with her one time in my life. Had dinner with her. We are managed by the same company, MMA Inc. We had a big get together. We all went out in Las Vegas. I sat across from her at the table, and I liked her a lot. She was a lot of fun. This was before she was in the UFC. A lot of fun. So I am going to get to visit with her and catch up, and you are all going to get to listen in. Stick around. I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Hey, guy, you know that you want to be the guy that all your buds want to be.
Oh, man, I want to party with him.
Yeah, that guy. Well, then here's how you do it. Just listen to these two shows every week. The Art of Charm.
We talk about how to create confidence, how to get people to like and trust you, productivity, time management, biohacking, and more.
And The Chive.
You never know who's going to drop by the studio, and you certainly never know what we're going to say to them.
Download new episodes of The Chive and The Art of Charm every week at podcastone.com.
It's a guy thing, all right?
Be that guy.
This is Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
We're back to Your Welcome, joined by John Piamarimi. John, what's going on, pal?
Hey, just getting hung up on, that's all.
Yeah, you know, we're just a little small startup operation over here. We're still working out the kinks.
Yeah, I mean, I could call AT&T about it if you'd like. We can see where it really came from.
That might be helpful.
Okay, I'll put in a call when we're done here.
No, I appreciate that. So what are you up to? What's going on?
Oh, man. Well, I talked to my buddy on the phone last night, we didn't have much to talk about, so I'm actually curious how this call's going to go.
Off to a great start. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Hey,
good.
Here's a serious question. Is Seth Rollins still the WWE champion?
That is a very good question. Who would you suggest would have beaten him by now?
I haven't the foggiest idea. I don't know. I have no answer to that. Roman? John Cena? Anybody? A mop? A mop from the closet?
Have
a bucket?
Up the,
I have an old broken vacuum at home. That could be champion.
I'm going to go with you're not a big Seth Rollins fan.
I'm not the hugest Seth Rollins fan, but I don't really. I wasn't actually looking to disparage him as much as I just haven't seen wrestling since WrestleMania, and I just thought that was going to be a gimmick ending, and I didn't think it would last long. But I was serious when I asked the question, even though it turned into something funny here. I'm going to assume that the answer is yes.
Yes, still champion. Personally, I wouldn't be putting it on anybody else. right now, not named Rusev, maybe.
Oh, yeah, Rusev is a good draw. I like that.
Yeah, Rusev is good. I think he's well, I guess he wouldn't be next in line, but if they put it on your boy Roman next, he'd be a good heel to take it off of him.
All right, so you and I went out to Las Vegas last week. We had a press conference for Global Force Wrestling. What did you make of it? Did you like it?
Oh man, it was a good time. I'm actually surprised we went to Vegas. I'm actually surprised you remembered anything from it.
Okay. Now, what's that supposed to mean? Now, what are the listeners supposed to make of that?
I'm just messing with you, Chael. I know you're the exact opposite of that outcome. No, it was cool, man. I'm excited about the product and seeing what the possibilities are. I think that the wrestling industry is definitely ripe for something new and something different. The fans are definitely there. I mean, with the success of the WWE Network, I think that a lot of fans are just kind of sticking around because it's the only option for them. So I think that there's a big hole right there that could be filled, and hopefully Global Force can be the one to do it.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, Jeff Jarrett definitely knows the business. I mean, he's been involved in it for a number of decades. If you go back to his old man, that used to be, you know, he's a second generation wrestler. He could be a third generation for all I know. But, you know, the Jarrett family and the McMahon family have ran wrestling in this country for, you know, over my lifetime. You could slip a Crockett in there if you wanted to, but it's really been those two families, and I think it's interesting. TNA is still on the air. You know, I had Kurt Angle on here a few weeks ago, and he was saying they're over on the Discovery Channel, but I didn't know that. You know, Discovery is very, in fact, it's not even Discovery. What is it, John? It's like it's called something else.
Yeah, it's Destination America. I think it's like a sister channel of Discovery.
Okay, so there's opportunity there, though. That's what I'm saying. You know, there's opportunity. And TNA going away from Viacom and Spike specifically was a bit of a surprise because, you know, they did a 1.1 rating on average every week. That's a huge, huge rating. I'm a little confused business-why you let a show like that go.
From what I understand, I don't really know specifically, but from what I understand, Spike sort of wanted to rebrand their network overall. So I'm assuming they probably felt like whatever the rebrand was going to be was going to bring in at least that for them on a weekly basis on whatever night TNA was running. I think they were Thursday nights, but I don't know. I don't know what it's been replaced with. I just know that they wanted to rebrand, but. I don't know. Have you heard how TNA's doing on the new network? Did Kurt talk about that?
Well, Kurt was all fired up about it. You know, he's their heavyweight champion, and he was on here promoting it. So you never know. You never know what a guy's saying. And you always embellish those numbers. I mean, that's just basic promotion. So you never know. But he sure sounded positive about it. He sounded like he was having a good time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, anytime a wrestler is receiving a paycheck, it's got to be good.
But, you know, Dixie Carter can only lose so much money. Even if her dad's got $1 billion, you can only lose so much money before you have to pull the plug. I'm glad that they're sticking around, but I don't know, man. I don't know what to make of it.
I heard or read something that I don't know how high up it goes, but that some people in TNA were complaining that Their checks were bouncing, so
that's not good.
that could be the beginning of something disastrous. But I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if I have that channel, so I haven't seen TNA.
I'll tell you, man. I don't know if that's the beginning of something disastrous or that's the end. That's generally the end result. You know, you gotta have some pretty good. You want to hear a story? You want to hear a story? Now that you just said checks are bouncing, I almost got arrested yesterday. I'm not joking. This is true. I went into a bank and I had a check for $800 and I wanted to cash it. And $800 is nothing to turn your nose up at, but at the same time, I can't imagine that's the biggest check that Bank of America saw in that hour. And I went in and I went to a different branch, and they wouldn't. they wouldn't cash it. I needed two pieces of ID. And I've been in spots where they require that before, two pieces of ID. But I've never had to. I don't even know what that means. Like, you know, you have a driver's license. I guess if you had a passport, and I do, but I didn't bring it with, I don't travel with it around town. So I don't even know how to provide two pieces of ID when I get stuck in that spot. And the average person can't be expected to have a passport. And I said, guys, and here was a comment I made that got me in a jam. I said, guys, I have the only thing better than a gun to get money from a bank. I have a check. That's the one thing guaranteed to get me cash more than if I came in here with a gun. Well, okay, now I've said gun at a bank, and that was a threat. Now they're gonna, you know, they're gonna have to do something. And now I'm pleading with them. I'm a customer here for I don't even know how long. And I'm saying, guys, listen, I kind of making a joke here, but I stand by it. I have a check. You have to give me my money, don't you? Like, isn't there a rule on that?
Yeah, I thought your star power was bigger than that. I guess you can go around your own hometown and people don't even know who you are, huh?
Yeah, you know what? And I wasn't in my hometown specifically, but I was in Oregon. I stopped by a Portland branch, and I still had ID. I mean, I've got ID. I've got bank-issued debit cards, and that didn't count. I needed two pieces of ID, or I had to deposit it. I couldn't cash it.
Could you imagine how horrible that day could have turned out for you if it made it on the news saying a guy robs a bank and then flees and almost hits a group of school kids on a field trip when pulling out of the parking lot?
Yeah, and you know that would have happened, right? And I'm telling the bank that. I'm like, hey, guys, I have enough problems, okay, with I'm a customer here. You may have not liked my joke, but at the end of the day, I have a check, and you're not cashing it. The ones that are wrong here are you guys, and there's got to be some legality. I think you have to give me the money.
Why didn't you just put it in the ATM?
Okay, you know what? That actually never crossed my mind, even as I've rethought this story until you just said. I don't like doing those ATMs anyway, and I know they're simple, but I don't do them. Like, you got to get an envelope, and then you got to sign it in the right spot, and...
No, you don't.
You just stick a check in?
Yeah, it's 2015. Pretty soon you'll just be able to look at the check and it'll get deposited. I think they're working on that, actually.
You know, you're kind of being a dick about this whole thing. I really wanted you to take my side.
You know I'm always on your side.
All right. So I'll tell you this, though, to go back to the press conference, because I got a kick out of this. You know, I like to be involved. I like to participate. It's coming off the ground floor. There's always risk in that. Do you want to get involved in something that isn't proven? And at the same time, if you think it's going to work, the answer is yes. Yes, you do. You want to be there when something gets going. But my biggest takeaway, you talk about, you know, this was held at the Orleans casino in Vegas. I didn't know how nice the Orleans was. They redid that thing, man. That's one of the original staples out there with the Golden Nugget or the Flamingo. They totally redid it. And what about that arena, man? They just built that thing in what, 2007? That thing was as sharp as any other arena in Vegas. I'm surprised more acts aren't going there.
Yeah, you actually just, I was saving up for that line, actually. You just took it. Thanks.
You know, I thought it was
cool. I get excited about anything that I'm a fan of and that, and, you know, something new pops up because you're always curious how it's going to turn out. Being a wrestling fan, you always want alternatives. I mean, I remember growing up, I don't know kind of what your background was on watching wrestling, but literally I would grow up and on the weekends I'd go to the grocery store and pick up, you know, Pro Wrestling Illustrated or The Wrestler, and you'd go to the back of the magazine and it would have 20 different wrestling organizations and it'd have the top 10 of rankings of every wrestling organization. And I'd always be so excited to go learn about a new organization or a new top guy in it. And I feel like wrestling is getting back to that, you know, notwithstanding what's going to happen with TNA, if anything. But you got WWE, Global Force, you got Lucha Underground, you got TNA, you got Ring of Honor. I mean, it's getting back to that old school, almost the territorial days where, you know, I guess it would just be the network days now. Everyone kind of has their own position on a network and vying for the viewership. So I think it's an exciting time. We'll see what happens with it. But I agree with you, man. I think it's got a great shot. So especially I was actually surprised at how nice that arena was. And I thought the same thing when we were there walking around touring it. I even, you know, asked you, I said, I wonder why UFC hasn't used this place. But I guess, I don't know, they must have contracts or something with the other places. Or
That would be my guess, too. You know, there's only a few arenas in Las Vegas. You've got MGM and Mandalay Bay, and that's what the UFC plays. You have UNLV. That's actually the biggest arena, and it's a little bit too big for what the UFC wants to do. I think they've only played it once. Pride came over and played it once. Didn't sell out, but they still did a great gate. It's such a big footprint. And then you've got the Orleans, and I don't know, you know, that's a little bit off the beaten path. But I'm not sure. I think more people should go there. Now, here's what I will say. Anytime there's an excuse to go to Vegas, it's great. People love Vegas. It's this killer destination. But people aren't going to fly in for a Global Force wrestling event. So Jeff Jarrett goes to, you know, clearly the greatest destination city that we have in America, one of the top in the world. But he's got to be relying, tell me if you disagree with this, he's got to be relying on the local fan base, right? I mean, I don't think he thinks people are going to fly in and do a trip. They don't even do that for a WWE event.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more so just the atmosphere surrounding it. You know, it's Fight Town. You know, it's got the UFC and the boxing feel to it. You know, big fight territory. I think that played a lot into it. But I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of that. But speaking of something I just said, as you know, I'm friends with you on Facebook, and you had an interesting take on this Mayweather fight. Now that it's over, I'm curious what you thought of it.
Okay, so there's a couple of things as it pertains to Mayweather. Let's start with the beginning. I don't know. I'm not a great judge of professional boxing. I've never fully understood it. The amateurs I get, right? The amateurs have the glove. The glove are marked with the white patch. That's got to touch a certain part of the body, and you get a point. You add up the points at the end, and you raise the guy's hand. Power is not taken into consideration. Meaning if you hit me really hard, you get a point. If I hit you very light, I get a point. It's point fighting, and it's pretty clear, but professionals aren't judged that way. So I thought that Pacquiao won. Now, I'm not a good judge, okay? I don't want a bunch of people giving me feedback and telling me how crazy I am. I understand that I'm wrong. He didn't win. That's why they raised Floyd's hand. But I thought they were going to raise Pacquiao's hand, or at least I thought there was a chance of that. I thought that he had won. People are coming forward because they do something in boxing where, you know, they have the stats. And they let you know who threw the most punches and who landed the most punches. Well, again, that's the amateur system. Mike Tyson never threw more punches or landed more punches than his opponent. Never. He just had these big, huge, powerful shots that would score more. And a professional judge can award him a round, you know, which adds up and turns into winning a fight just based on damage and the power that he has. So people are coming back and they're looking at these numbers and saying, no, Floyd, you know, Floyd threw 100 more punches and landed 70 more. Obviously, well, that's not how it works. And particularly in a 12-round fight, if you land all of those in one round, you only win the round. So that's not how you score professional boxing. Now, with that said, I'm not a great judge of scoring professional boxing. I'm not really skilled in that, but I do know enough to know it doesn't matter who landed more punches. That's amateur.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how many more times, I don't want to say boxing fans, but people in general have to be bamboozled into ordering a boxing fight before they start going, these probably aren't worth watching anymore.
Well, they have to quit complaining when it's over. You have to know what you're getting into. You're buying a snooze fest. You know, if you understand, and I love boxing. You know, it's one of my top three favorite sports. I like MMA. I of course like wrestling. I couple those together. I like gymnastics. I like boxing, but I am very critical of boxing because it's boring. You know, this isn't the '80s anymore. The days of the Leonard and the Hearns and the Duran and the Haglers, man, those are well behind us. That's a hard way to make a living, to go out and stand your ground and throw punches, take them and land them and live with the result for 12 full rounds. It's a hard way to make a living. So you get these guys that are very skilled like Floyd. And if you understand boxing, what Floyd is doing is a thing of beauty. But most people don't understand boxing. They do understand fighting. They want to see two guys go out and fight. Floyd's not a fighter. He's a boxer. And there's a difference. You have to understand what it is you're purchasing. And then you also, at least for me, I'm a hype guy. You know, I like the interviews. I like the walkout. I like the stare downs. The match itself, for me, could be five rounds. I don't need to see 12 rounds of it. I think they can prove their point in about 15 minutes and go home.
Yeah. I had a good follow-up to that I just forgot what I was going to ask you. But if you can maybe say one more sentence, I can remember it.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this. Now, Floyd is saying, you know, you want to talk about legacies. He's saying he's going to give Manny a rematch. I think that that matters. I think that Floyd's willingness to compete with anybody and his willingness to even do it on more than one occasion, I think that means something for his legacy. It's very rare that you get a top fighter that squeaks out a win and then will give the guy a rematch. You know, Floyd already did this. He just did that two fights ago. I want to call the guy Morales, and that's not his name. It just escaped me, but he just did it. He gave the guy a fight. The guy did a great fight, and Floyd said, I'll rematch him, and did. And I think it matters. For Floyd's legacy, I think his willingness to fight, we don't see a lot of this in MMA. We see a lot of ducking and dodging until Dana makes guys do fights. When Floyd just steps forward and says, I'll do it, and I'll do it again, I think it matters for his, you know, how he's going to be remembered long term. At least for me as a fan, I look at that, and his willingness to go out and compete means something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this might be controversial, but I would probably do another fight, too, if I needed some more money to bail out more criminals from jail.
I don't know if that's true. You're talking about Suge Knight. Now you're talking, isn't that right? There was a rumor on TMZ that Floyd was going to put up the $10 million and bail him out. Floyd said that wasn't true. And Floyd doesn't seem to hide from controversy. Floyd will tell everybody to shove it up their ass. I'm going to bail this guy out. He said, I'm not bailing him out. And Suge is still sitting in jail. So I think that was falsely reported.
Okay, well, we'll see after 90 days when that pay-per-view check clears. No, what I was going to ask you earlier is, I mean, you've got this big fight. Floyd Mayweather, you know, reportedly going to make $180 million. Pacquiao going to make $120. And, you know, the thing that people say about boxing is all these great athletes are going into MMA. I've yet to hear Chael Sonnen versus Anderson Silva 2 and you guys bringing in $180 million. Why isn't guys like John Jones, Cain Velasquez, why aren't they going where the money is? It's one thing to say, well, MMA is kind of, you know, the future of combat sports, but I could care less about being involved in the future. I want to make $180 million in one fight.
Yeah, and you know, that it's real simple. It's just the way the contracts are set up. The boxing model has been around for a very long time, and the athletes make 80%. Whatever show brings in, which includes the gate and pay-per-view and maybe even merchandising for that matter, but the athletes take 80% and the promoters take 20%. The concert business is largely the same way. You know, if you want to bring an act to town, a George Strait, Led Zeppelin, whoever it may be, that's just the way that model's set up. The MMA model didn't work that way, and people do resist that, but there's some moving parts there. You know, let me give you an example. So many people think that Dana White and company just go run off with all the money. And it is true that largely their company brings in the money, but they spread the wealth. They've got a major socialistic approach to a capitalistic business. And I'll tell you what I mean. When Dana started the UFC, he had 5 employees, and that includes him and 4 people in the office. That office now, just in Las Vegas, has just under 400 people. That's just the Las Vegas office. They've opened them in Europe. They've opened them in Canada. They've got an office in the UK. So my point is, when the money comes in, they spread it around, but they've used it to grow the business. It's not a matter of Dana goes and puts it under his mattress and just sleeps on a pile of money like people like to make believe. He's done it to grow the business and create an industry. And that's never really shown any appreciation. People are just saying, oh, the athlete should take it all. Well, you can do that, but then what about the poor guy in the marketing department? And what about the guy in the PR department? And what about the guy setting up the cameras and the cage and the lights? You know, he's part of the show, too. he's one of these unsung heroes, but he deserves to make some money too. And, you know, that's what Dana has never been thanked for and has really been misunderstood about. He does spread the money around. He just doesn't give it to two guys. He gives it to hundreds of people. And at the end of the day, it's not going in his pocket as much as people want to say it is. It's just not.
How are those Christmas parties? Have you gone to one?
No, we're not invited. They're not for athletes. They're only for the actual employees that are in the office. But I hear that they are amazing. For example, you know, Dana's a music guy. In front of a fight guy, he's a music guy. And in fact, my belief, if he ever sold the UFC, they would obviously put him under a non-compete. My belief is that unless he wanted to just go retire, which a type A like him isn't going to do, I think he's going to go into the music business. I think that would be Dana's next endeavor. But the point that I'm getting is he always brings in some killer band. So it's a private party for those events. He had Led Zeppelin play 1 year. I mentioned them earlier. He had the Red Hot Chili Peppers play. So it's always somebody, not Led Zeppelin, Def Leppard is who I'm trying to say. Def Leppard out there 1 year. He had the Chili Peppers. So he throws a killer event, but we're not invited. It's not for the athletes. It's just for the people in the office.
Is it dana.white@ufc.com where I can send my resume?
You know what? It's dwhite@ufc.com.
D-White. Got it.
And I will probably quickly regret the fact that I just gave that out.
Well, as we talk, if I am not paying attention, I'm just going to be writing out an email here.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. You should put in an app. You do well out there, man. He's always hiring.
Good thing I know someone.
It's a good thing, and now everybody else does too. And now there it is. I already am regretting that. I'm already regretting that I just gave his email out. It's not super hard to find his email. It is online, a simple Google search, but his assistant is definitely going to be backed up now that I've just actually put it out there.
Hi, Chael Sutton told me I should send it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it won't just be job applications. He'll be getting hate mail now. Dane, I hate you from Chael. Dane, I hate you. Hey, you're welcome.
What's up with that judge, your buddy that you had on?
Douglas Crosby, man. Did you hear that? The wheel sure fell off the bus on that thing, didn't they?
Oh, man.
I turned heel on him and started cutting a promo. I didn't know what else to do, man. I was so legitimately mad, which he was taking pleasure in. He was so taking pleasure in riling me up. And he was good at it.
It was so bad, it was good. Unfortunately, I get why you brought him back. It just, at that point, didn't have the same cachet is the first one. I think you let him have his time. You felt bad, and you let him have his time in the second one, and I think you should have just went right after him again.
Yeah, you know, I probably should have. I felt like he needed a redo. I felt like, you know, if you have something to get off your chest, go ahead and do it. And I don't know if it ever happened. Even in the second one, you know, I don't really know what the payoff was or where we went with it, but he is fun to talk to, and he's calculated. You know, he's a lot like you. He's a writer. He's a very intelligent guy. But as far as entertaining, yeah, man, it was kind of a miss, wasn't it? It wasn't. There was just no payoff.
Could you imagine the way he answers questions? You wonder why people don't try to get answers from judges after fights.
Yeah.
Could you imagine going up to him and going, "Can you explain to me why you scored that 30-27 for the other guy?"
Right. No, it is hard, and I think that it's important. You know, the judges are the one unrepresented group in the sport, and the same goes for boxing. You know, you can't ever hear from one. I was sitting here just telling you a minute ago, I'm not a great judge of boxing, but how am I supposed to be? The judges don't ever come out and talk. They don't ever come out and say, how are we supposed to learn? And it's not like they've got some secrets. It's just they don't want to have accountability.
And you were saying that there's no training. If you just want to be a judge, you can be a judge. So what resume do I send in and to where? Do you have that email address as well?
You know,
really be a judge.
No, I hear you. And if you are being serious, there's actually a simple answer to it, which is just the commissions. The commissions handle that. not the UFC. And in boxing, there's always rumors that Bob Arum and those guys are doing it. But I don't know if that's true. I think that all does go through the commissions, too.
But come on, you got some of these boxing decisions. Like, I predicted in this Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, I said Mayweather will win the fight, Pacquiao will win the decision, the judges will count their money, and we'll have a rematch. I mean, it's just so blatant sometimes. Even in the UFC, you'll have three judges, and two of them score it correctly, or at least close, and then the other guy's got it completely lopsided. In judging, in boxing, it's like you can have a guy go out there, win a fight, and all three of them see it the wrong way. It's very hard for me to swallow that there's not something going on there.
You know what? It's funny you should bring that up. So the overwhelming belief in Las Vegas, I thought this was a joke. I was out at ESPN, and the general thought amongst the sports aficionados is this fight was going to be a draw. And I'm going, that's crazy. If this is a draw and you bet on that, you're going to make all sorts of money because that's insane. And they were saying, no, the line in Vegas was 21-1 that would be a draw. That line dropped to 8-1. And when the fight went off, it was 5-1. That's what people were betting on because of the corruption in boxing. And what they were betting their money on was these guys are going to call it a draw and then rematch him. Now, that didn't end up happening, but to your point, you aren't the only one that smells a rat with boxing. It's been that way forever. You know, that's why the commissions exist. Boxing was ran by the mob for so long, and then when Vegas started taking bets on it, they had to make sure the bets were coming in clean, you know, because gambling is so regulated in Nevada. That's why the commission got set up. The government oversees boxing, so the government said, well, or rather, the government oversees gambling, so they said, well, we're going to have to also give oversight to boxing to clean this up and make it straight. But it came from a very corrupt place. You know, there was people that were complaining that Floyd Mayweather made so much money. This was on Fox News. And the big complaint was, you know, you've got this guy that did domestic violence and served jail time, and he should not be able to make this much money. They had no problem that he was fighting. They just had problems that he was making so much money. And I thought that that theme was very bad. The theme there is, let a guy go out and do it, but don't let him, you know, make sure you cap what he can make. And in America, we don't do that. You make whatever you can make. And I can't really finish this thought, but it had a very bad feel to it. You're saying, okay, he can go out and he could take this beating, but you want to, you know, because he had this charge or did some jail time. Are you with me here? I'm not finishing this thought very well, but no, I thought it was a very bad theme.
It's a very simple solution. You don't want him to walk away with that kind of money. Don't order the fight. He's making money off of you. He's not going to walk away with a dime if you're not the one buying the pay-per-view or buying the ticket to the fight.
Yeah.
Very simple. You don't like the guy, don't support him.
No, that's right. You know, that same piece on Fox News, though, they reported that this was on a show called Outnumbered, so it was more of an opinion piece. I don't know if you're familiar with that show, but they'd reported that Manny Pacquiao's shorts alone, this is a quote, his shorts alone are worth $250 million. He had six patches on his shorts. Now, if you break that down, that's $40 million a patch. They were hoping to do 3 million buys, which means they value each buy at $250,000. If any CEO of any public company gave $40 million for a patch, not only would they be removed from their position, they would be placed in jail. It was ridiculous, and it made it on Fox News. And I'm looking at it going, you know, even if that comes up in your teleprompter, if you have the sense that God gave geese, you don't report that number. That's absurd and ridiculous and not true.
Oh, beneficial to whoever reported it, I'm sure. You know, here's what I'd like to see. I'm sure the people on Fox News don't make a fraction of what Floyd Mayweather or Manny Pacquiao makes, but I'm sure they make quite a bit more than the majority of this country, and I'd like to see their tax returns to see how much money they've given to charity or how they would feel if they were capped based on what it is that they do, because I'm sure they're overpaid to the extreme.
Yeah,
to go on there and, you know, spin their stories and read a script.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. All right, hey, I got Paige Van Zant calling in. John, I've had it with you. I appreciate your time. But before you go, I do want to tell you one thing. I want to tell you that I appreciate you. I appreciate the listeners and all of the great sponsors that spend their money on this podcast. You're welcome. I want to remind you that you can help keep this thing rolling. Help us keep the lights on around here by doing one simple thing. Go to podcastone.com and click on Support This Podcast banner. That's the place where you can go, and it will direct you to links for all of the sponsors who believe in and support this show. Check them out. They're good products. But that's not all. You can also help by simply using my Amazon banner. You see, Amazon offers this show a small commission on any of the products you purchase when you use the banner. There's no cost to you. The money comes straight from Amazon, not from your pocket. And you can even use my Amazon banner if you're located in Canada or the UK. Bookmark it. Then every time you shop through Amazon, you'll be supporting your welcome, which should make you feel good since you're listening. Thanks again for all your support. When I come back, Paige Van Zant. You're welcome.
Let's go. The all-new Rich Eisen Show.
What is it?
What is it?
Who better to tell you than Rich Eisen?
This is what we're going to have on the show. Just talking football along with music and movies and television shows. Interesting things of our pop culture landscape, of which the NFL is part.
And that's all you really want at the end of the day.
The Rich, Eisen Show.
Hold on a minute. This is probably my therapist.
Go to podcast1/Rich Eisen to hear every show.
Now, back to your welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Here's Chael Sonnen.
We are back to your welcome, and as promised, I am joined by Paige Van Zant. Paige, what's going on, girl?
Hey there, just got done with CrossFit.
Oh, CrossFit, that's a hard workout.
It's very hard, but I really like it. I just got into it.
What was the routine today? Tell me what you did and what the time limit was.
Oh, boy. Well, we always start with like a strength, which we did deadlifts today. And then for the workout, it was power cleans, hose to bar, double unders, and as many reps as possible for 12 minutes. And then a minute break, and then we had to do as many burpees as we could in 3 minutes.
Tell me what a double ender is.
Like with a jump rope.
Oh, okay. So a double jump. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
That does not sound pleasant, but good for you.
It wasn't.
There's always a nice high when you get done with a workout like that, so good job.
Thank you. Yeah, it felt good.
All right, you got to tell me this. The champion in the weight class is the Polish gal. I can't say her name. Joanna is what I call her. How do you pronounce her last name?
I usually change it every time I say it, but it's like Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
I'm going to just stick with Joanna. I'm going to stick with Joanna.
Something like that.
Now, she's going to be fighting Jessica Pena. What do you think of that match?
You know, I for that one, I think that Joanna is definitely going to win the fight. I'm excited to watch the fight, but we'll see.
That Joanna girl can box, and in that last fight where she had with Carla, her takedown defense was so good. But was that a fair depiction of her? Did she just have a really good night? Like Jessica Pena, I just spoke to her on the telephone, and she was saying, you know, she did look like a superstar in that last fight. She said, but if you watch her other fights, she said she really just had a good night. Is that accurate, or is that just the opinion of a person that's getting ready to fight her?
You know, I don't know, can't really make that call. I haven't watched enough of her fights. I was pretty focused just on my fight with Felice. But if it gets closer to me getting a title or getting a fight with her, I really got to study her. I think she did really good against Carla. I do think that Carla was really just desperate for the takedown, or maybe her coaches went in with one game plan and didn't really anticipate standing up, or didn't anticipate her not getting the takedown right away. So I think that's the real reason that Carla didn't look very good against Joanna. Maybe if she went in with a little more open, like an open mindset, she could have just used all of her technique other than just trying to get the shot.
Yeah, and you know, Carla is so skilled, and it did look like she got thrown off her game pretty early. She took a couple of stiff jabs, and like you said, she was almost desperate for that takedown. I felt as though, and this is always Monday morning quarterbacking, but I felt like Carla might have gotten taken a little out of her game. Joanna pulled quite a bit of stunts, if you will, at the press conference at the face-offs. I thought she was wildly entertaining, but I did think Carla got caught off guard by it.
I think so, too, and I think that, like, with the face-off and all those, the little things can really get in your head, and I think maybe it got into Carla's head, and that really just threw her off and made her have a really bad night.
Did you see the press conference where Joanna was holding up a finger, the number one sign? So then Carla did it, and Joanna told her, no, you put that finger down. You do not do this. This is my move. Did you see that press conference?
I did not see that, but that's very interesting.
Oh, it was so funny. It was absolutely fun. And it worked. Carla actually put her finger down. She was thrown off.
Oh,
so
this, boy.
Yeah, this Polish girl comes to America, berates our champion, and then takes her belt. I mean, it was a big deal. Women's fighting isn't, you know, that match kind of went under the radar a little bit, but I think over time that match is going to look better and better. I think people are going to look back on that. And they're going to remember it. I think it was a classic moment in women's fighting.
I think so, too. And I think a lot of people don't realize how much the whole social media or seeing your opponent at the event can really play into how the fight goes. A lot of times, like, I really watch my opponents and how they work with when they're fighting, if they're a mad fighter or anything like that. And I use that as an advantage as to when I see them at UFC events as well.
Yeah, I think that's great. Now, when you first started and broke into the UFC, you were training at Alpha Male, and then you left. Is that right, or are you back with Alpha Male?
I'm with Alpha Male. I did have to go back to Nevada for a short time. I only had in-state insurance, and I had a really bad back injury before my fight with Kaylin Curran. So I had to go back and do physical therapy for like 6 weeks before the fight. So that's why I kind of had the remainder of my training camp for against Kaylin Curran in Nevada. But since that fight, I've been back in Sacramento.
Okay, so who do you train with when you're there? Do you have to spar with the guys, or do they have some females in there that you can work out with?
You know, we actually do have a few females that are there. Martin Campman just brought someone over from Holland. She's a very good kickboxer named Sarah. She was someone I really got to work with before my fight with Felice. She had very good stand-up, so I got a really good look of how I do against an all stand-up fighter. I have another girl, Cynthia. She's amazing at wrestling, so she really, really beats me up on the ground. So that's awesome to have someone like that. But other than that, I have a lot of guys to work with, a lot of small 125ers that are perfect for me, especially there's a lot of bigger girls in my weight class, and going with 125er guys is just the perfect look for me.
Now, is Mark Munoz out there? Did Mark Munoz come out and start training at Alpha Male? He closed up the Range gym, which he owned for a number of years. He has one fight left, and I was just told that he's training at Alpha Male. Is that accurate?
That's a good question. I've been in Reno just doing a lot of CrossFit for the last 2 weeks, so I'm not really sure, but I do know Clay Guida was just there before his last fight.
Okay. So that's home? Reno's where you're from?
Yeah, I'm from Reno. My parents live here at home, but all of my training camps are in Sacramento, and I'm actually driving back up there today.
Okay, and were you a high school wrestler?
No, I was not. I was a cheerleader in high school, actually.
I could see that. Stereotypically, I can see that. That actually fits.
Right?
Only for one year.
Then I was like, this is terrible.
Well, how did you get into MMA?
Actually, my dad was a wrestler. We're from Oregon, so we're from Oregon like you, and he wrestled in high school. And then he went to college for wrestling, and he convinced me to try a class here in Reno at the Lion's Den, which was Ken Shamrock's gym.
Of course.
And I had no idea who Ken was. I wasn't a fan of the sport, didn't follow it, and then all of a sudden, I think the first day was all jits, and Ken taught us leg locks, of course, and I just kind of fell in love with the technique and the discipline of it. And honestly, I was new to Reno, and there was two guys training, and that kept me in the gym.
Oh, wow. Now, does he still run that? I know Ken's got a fight coming up with Kimbo. Does he still have the Lion's Den? Is that up and operating?
No, it's not. I think he took it overseas. But I was only able to train with him for about a year until he closed the gym down here.
Okay. And what do you think of that fight with him and Kimbo? Is that even going to happen? You know, they tried to do, I don't know how much you follow the sport, but
yeah.
they tried to do this fight once before, and the day of it got mm-hmm. scratched. I mean, is this fight going to go down? I feel like it's not.
You know, that's kind of how I felt between the Floyd and this Barcy match. You know, I didn't really believe it was going to happen until the bell rang. So I think that's going to be the same thing for me with Ken and Kimbo. I think Ken will definitely fight. I did hear that he's been taking fights in Australia, even leading up to this a while ago. So I think Ken definitely will, just knowing his personality.
Did you watch that fight, I assume, Floyd and Pacquiao? Who did you think won? Did they have it right?
Yeah, you know, I definitely say Floyd won. I do think he got the better of all the counters. He was countering Pacquiao, and I mean, for me, it was a little bit of a boring fight to watch. That's why I'm really, really glad I'm in MMA.
Yeah, boxing can be tough. You know, I'm pretty critical of it, too. It isn't all that pleasing to watch, and it's not just mm-hmm. that weight class. You know, it's not just Floyd's weight class, because he does have a style. You know, that's not going to change. He's not that mm-hmm. brawling. He's a very technical boxer more than he is a mm-hmm. fighter. But I caught the Klitschko fight. I don't even know if you know Klitschko fought. Klitschko fought 2 weeks ago, and, I mean, that was a mm-hmm. snooze fest, too. It was painful. I was out at ESPN. They made us watch it. Because I had to do mm-hmm. some commentary on it. I was just like, please, guys, I get it. I can comment on this. You're only giving me a 30-second spot anyway. I don't want to watch 36 minutes of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really hard. And, you know, those Klitschko, but, you know, there are more guys that are these real technical fighters. If you're not a power hitter, if you're not just born with that skill of having power, you can't. You can't go create it. That's the one thing I did learn in my time as a fighter. If you're not born, if God didn't let you be born with that, it's mm-hmm. not going to come. So you have to find other ways to win fights. And these guys are technical, but, you know, it's tough. It used to be enough, but, you know, Dana White has kind of changed the dialogue on all of this. He's changed the dialogue into finishing fights and having exciting matches as opposed to just mm-hmm. getting your hand raised. So the way that all of us as combat sports fans look at it now has changed over the last decade. It's about trying to finish, trying to get out of there, and trying to be exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think that's where you're at. You know, your fight with Felice was incredible, and to really appreciate your performance, you have to understand how good Felice is. And I follow mm-hmm. the sport. Again, women's fighting is up and coming, so not everybody mm-hmm. knew how talented she was, but that's a tough, tough girl. I mean, she's not going to lose again anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, going into the fight, I will say I was more nervous for this fight than any other, just because of the name behind her, and she did have a lot more experience. I mean, I've had a lot of experience competing, but I haven't had a lot of fights yet. So just knowing who she was and knowing she had this huge name going into it was definitely played with my nerves a little. So before the fight, I stayed off social media completely. I didn't look at what she was doing to train, or I didn't look at her, like, I didn't look at anything she was doing that I wasn't, or anything to make those comparisons. I just had to have faith in my team and know that I was ready to fight this fight.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Who is next for you? Have you talked to Dana? Do you have another opponent lined up?
No, I haven't talked about it at all. There's still a lot of strawweight fights happening. There's almost everyone in the top five right now, or top 10, it has a fight lined up. So I think I'm going to watch all these strawweight fights that are coming up, and then really pick an opponent from there. And even with all these fights happening, the rankings are going to continue to change.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. Do you have somebody that you'd like to get matched up with, somebody that you just think would be a good match, or maybe somebody that made a comment about you know there was a lot of jealousy going around. Particularly with your Reebok deal, is there someone where you're going, you know, I wouldn't mind getting in the ring with her?
You know, I just try to look at, I want to fight someone that's ranked higher than me, so anyone that's 1 through 6 would be perfect for me to fight.
What is the Reebok deal look like? Here's where I get confused. I left the sport mm-hmm. right before Reebok came in, so I get asked about this a lot, and I have no insight to the deal whatsoever. But you got signed as an athlete with Reebok. Mm-hmm. Mike Roberts was telling me about that. Congratulations on that, by the way. But here's where I get confused. So educate me on this. Reebok is now sponsoring the entire UFC. So mm-hmm. when they went out and they started signing individual athletes, from a business standpoint, I did get confused as to why. I'm going, well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. What is it an athlete like Paige or John Jones or whoever it may be that landed some of these deals What is it that your obligation will be to Reebok that they didn't already have you obligated to do just by sponsoring the organization?
You know, that's a good question. I'm very stoked that I was picked up by Reebok, and they've been amazing to me. So I think it's just doing things outside of just the regular UFC things, like going to, I went to the release of the pump and just other obligations, I guess, as far as like social media and making appearances at events and things like that. So I think that's it, but I'm very excited about having Reebok take over the UFC, and I like the idea of having the outfitting policy.
Yeah, well, you should be. This is a really big deal, and it was met with some resistance. You know, there's an expression, no good deed goes unpunished. And to give you a quick history lesson on the way the UFC worked, Dana let anybody come in and sponsor. If you were a fighter and you could go get a sponsor, you could have it. Then over time, he said, all right, basically it's the same deal, but I want to approve these sponsors. We were having some condom depot, and we were having some gun companies, and just some stuff where the UFC said, you know, let us take a look. We'll let almost anything in, but we want to give some approval. And now, but you have to understand, my point to this is there is no producer of television in the history of television that pays for the cameras, pays for the airtime, pays to produce a show, and then lets the talent go get outside sponsors. You know, on Saturday Night Live, you're not ever going to see a guy come out wearing you know, a Budweiser shirt or whatever it may be. That's all going to have to go through NBC. NBC's going to take that deal, not give it to the actor, whoever the talent is. So my point is, when we as fighters were getting these sponsorships, this was a gift that we never should have been given. And when it went away, so many people had resentment and said, well, this is going to cost me X amount of money. It's like, well, there could be some truth to that. But in fairness, you never should have had that money to start with. In terms of the way TV works, it just doesn't work that way. It all goes to the producer. It doesn't go to the talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I totally get that. And it is an entertainment industry. I think a lot of people forget that when they make these judgments and things like that. They forget it is an entertainment industry.
Yeah. But no, the bottom line is it is show business. I mean, at the end of the day, we're doing a sport and all of that, but this is show business, and ratings matter, and to have a nice, clean, and crisp look of having everybody come out in uniform, man, that's a good thing. That's a really good thing for longevity.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So my wife is sitting here next to me. She was a dancer slash cheerleader in high school herself. So when you said you were a cheerleader, her face lit up and she got excited. She just handed me a note. And she it's not even a question. She's making a statement. I've got to turn it into a question, but she's telling me that you started as a dancer before you got into cheerleading. Is that right?
Yes, that is true.
And what does that consist of? Like, my wife, as a dancer, she was a competitive dancer. And for me, I love watching it because it's so gymnastics-based. You know, it's so based on flexibility and back walks and handsprings. Is that the kind of dance that you were doing, or were you on a team dance?
Yeah, you know, I did competitive dance. And I actually was homeschooled for a little while just to pursue that. And I danced 21 hours a week by the time I was 10.
Oh,
and that
geez.
Was 21 hours a week was a requirement for being on the team that I was on. And I don't know. It was, I loved it. And I kept dancing until I moved to Reno, Nevada. And I just couldn't find a dance studio that I really liked or connected with. And that's when I started fighting.
That's really neat. Now We share the same manager, MMA Inc., Mike Roberts, Jeff Meyer. Jeff is one of the top lawyers in California, and he got a little away from legal practice and really started focusing on MMA. But he's going back in to legal practice. He's rebuilding his business. Would you agree that's a good move? I mean, Jeff Meyer's one of the sharpest dudes out there, no?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I'm thankful to have a lawyer on my management team. It's nice to know lawyers.
It's so important. It's so important. You know, I was talking with Dana one time, and Dana told me, he said, "Chael, you guys don't need managers." He said, "Unless you have a lawyer." He said, "You know, you come to the table, you do what we do, You do what you do. We do what we do. We come out with a contract. He said, but at the end of the day, it is a legal contract. And if you've got a management team that doesn't have a lawyer as part of it, he said, you're just working with a buddy. There's no point in this business. You know, when Dana tells you that, that's the way it is. And that is one, one unique thing that MMA Inc. has, man. We have a built-in legal team. So how did you meet those guys? How did you meet Mike and Jeff?
For Uriah, actually. I started training at Team Alpha Male. I was there for a few months, and then they asked me to be on a part of the team. You have to kind of get asked to be on Team Alpha Male. And then shortly after that, Uriah recommended that I speak with MMA Inc., and I went to Vegas with them, and I just saw how great they were with all their athletes. I knew Uriah was a part of it, and I really trusted Uriah, and I trust him, and if he said I should be a part of that company, then I agreed with him, and that's how I got signed with MMA Inc., and it's literally been a blessing, and it's been perfect since then.
Now, TJ Dillashaw, world champion, came up through Alpha Male. He left. Is that correct? Did he follow Coach Dwayne Ludwig and go to Colorado with him? Is that accurate?
I know he's in Colorado right now. I'm not exactly sure of all the facts there. I kind of keep to myself as far as in the gym goes. So I don't know a lot of the little drama things that go on.
Okay. And then Joseph Benavides, I know he got engaged and his fiance is in Las Vegas. Did he leave Alpha Male? Did he go out to Las Vegas, or did the engagement not affect him? Training-wise.
I don't think so. I mean, as far as I was there on Monday and he was at the gym, I don't think he left.
Well, there it is. That definitely answers that question. Now, when you talk about Alpha Male, of course, the leader, Uriah Faber, man, he's got a big fight coming up with Frank Yeager. What do you think of that match?
I am very excited for this matchup. Uriah, just watching Uriah training, he looks like a giant shark right now. He's bigger than I've ever seen him, and he's stronger, and you can just tell that he hasn't had to start the weight cut or anything as soon, so he's going to be a lot athletically, better, I think, you know? So I'm very excited for this matchup, and seeing him train for this fight, it has been awesome to watch.
And that fight's at 145, correct? He's got to go up to Frankie's weight. Frankie didn't drop down.
Yeah, he's going up to 145, so I think he looks bigger and stronger and more athletic than I've ever seen him.
Yeah, and you know what's tough about that fight is the location. You know, the Philippines, first off, is not easy to get to. And second, when you get there, there's a lot of unexpecteds. And I don't know. I know Uriah was he didn't mind fighting Frankie, but I know he did not want to go to the Philippines. Has he wrapped his head around that yet?
Yeah, you know, I know he's adjusting to the time zone already while he's training. So I think it's going to all work out. I'm just not too happy about having to wake up that early to watch the fight.
No, I hear you. And, you know, I hate this fight. Let me tell you why. Uriah is one of my closest friends in fighting. Frankie Edgar is my favorite fighter. So, you know, when these two are going to go fight, you're kind of scratching your head going, you know, what are we? Let me tell you a cool Frankie Edgar story. I fought on a card with Frankie Edgar. I was a co-main event. I fought with a guy named Brian Stan. Frankie was going to defend his title that night against Gray Maynard. So as I'm leaving the ring, I meet this young man named Ty. And Ty was about 9 or 10 years old. He was a big fan. He had the UFC hat on. He had the tap out shirt on. He's fired up. As I'm leaving the ring, I meet him and he catches my eye. And I said, "Do you want to go in the back? And you want to meet the guys?" And he says, "Yes." Yeah. So I reach over, I lift him over the rail. I make eye contact with his father and I said, "I'll bring him back." And I just take his son into the back. So Ty and I are going around and I'm getting everybody's autographs and I'm popping into locker rooms and doing all this stuff. And my night's over, you know, and I'm on a high. Anytime you have a fight and you're done, as you well know, you know, the rest of your night, it's pretty hard to have anything go wrong. Well, I walk into Frankie's locker room on accident. I didn't know it was Frankie's locker room. I open the door up and there's Frankie getting ready to walk out and defend a world title. And I said, "Hey, man, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to barge in. I didn't know you were in here." And he goes, "No, it's cool." He said, "What's going on?" And I said, "Well, this young man is named Ty, and I'm taking him around. I'm introducing him to the guys and getting him some pictures and autographs." And I said, "We're going to leave you alone, Frankie. Sorry." And Frankie stops us. And he goes, "No, no, 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 no. I have time." He stops his warm-up. He poses with this young man he's never met. He gives him an autograph, and then he goes out and defends his world championship.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's the coolest thing ever. You can't have an experience with a guy like that and then not love him forever. You can't do it. It was one of the coolest things that ever could have happened, and it happened to this young man named Ty, and I was there to witness this, and I'll never forget that Frankie did it.
Oh, yeah, that is awesome. That's a great story, and I love hearing stories like that with the fighters, and everyone thinks they're so tough and grumpy and stuff, but they're nice people.
They're nice guys, you know, and it was also something to be said for how relaxed Frankie was. I mean, Frankie was, it seemed like the last thing on his mind was a fist fight in front of the whole world on a main event pay-per-view. But I'll tell you this, Paige, let's take Conor McGregor out of the equation, because take Conor out of the equation. The biggest fight that you could possibly make in that weight class, the biggest fight in the history of that weight class for years has been Frankie Edgar versus Uriah Faber. And I could never figure out why they didn't do it. Now, you had Conor in there. Conor's a huge draw. It kind of changes the scenario. But this fight has been years in the making. And I don't know who's going to win. When I close my eyes and picture this fight, you know, neither guy is going to give up. I know that's for sure. Neither guy is going to back down, give up, tap out. That just isn't going to happen. So, who do you think's going to win that fight? I mean, I know we have to say Uriah because you're in the gym with him, but if we're being objective, who wins that fight?
I've got to go with Uriah. I mean, even when I've watched him train for a prior fight, he's never looked this good. And I really see him. He's the best athlete I think I've ever seen out of him. So I'm going with Uriah 100%.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. You could be right. I don't know. I'm pretty pumped about that whole thing. I'm pretty excited they're even in the Philippines. You know, I think that that's a big deal that they've expanded. The Philippines is a huge fight culture. You know, if you see the crowd that Pacquiao brings in and the support that a whole country gets behind a guy, and we don't have a lot of Filipino fighters right now. We got Brandon Vera. I don't know that he's still with the UFC. We got Mark Munoz is on the card. But when that builds, when a Filipino fighter, it's the same thing that's going on in the Mexican market. We keep going into Mexico and selling out in record time. When we get an actual Mexican fighter, not a Mexican American, an actual Mexican fighter, man, it's good. That whole country is going to get behind him. It's going to be exciting.
Oh, it'll be very exciting. Yeah.
All right. So TJ Dillashaw is not. Now, I'm mad at TJ right now. I'll tell you what. I'm a little mad at him. And I'm friends with TJ. I've known him a number of years, so I'm comfortable speaking. And we will make up. I won't be mad at him for long. But I am right now.
Okay.
And something that TJ did, for whatever reason, rubbed me the wrong way, is he did an interview about Conor McGregor, and he said that Conor does not deserve the title shot. And that always sends me in the wrong direction because I don't know what it means. If a guy can get a title shot, he deserves a title shot. But what I'm looking at, I'm going, TJ, not for nothing, and you are the champion you deserve to be, but you didn't deserve that shot. That was a Sun Sao shot. A Sun Sao beat you. A Sun Sao had the shot. A Sun Sao got hurt. You got thrown into it, and you came away proving that you were the right guy. So why are you now doing that to Conor and saying he doesn't deserve the shot? I thought that it was a bit of an underhanded blow for a guy that had just worn those same shoes.
Yeah. You know, I didn't see the interview where he said that, but and I'm not sure his reasoning behind it, but I do think that Conor and Team Alpha Male tend to have a little bit of beef behind them, so that could have been stemmed from that.
Conor's got beef with everybody.
I know.
I think that Conor is so fun. I think the wheels fall off the bus. I think that he's in way over his head with Aldo. But what the hell do I know, Paige? You want to make a lot of money, here's what you do. You ask me who's going to win a fight, ask me every time there's a pay-per-view, and then go bet the opposite. You will make a lot of money. I am the single worst predictor of fights that I know. It drives my mom crazy. She teases me all the time. It drives ESPN crazy. They're like, man, we bring you in to predict these things, and you always get it wrong. It's like, yeah, I do. I don't know why I'm so bad at it. But I do believe that. I think that Conor's in greatly over his head here.
I mean, for me, I do really like Conor. I was fortunate enough to meet him when we did a Reebok event together, and I really like Conor. And just talking to him, when he's not in front of, like, cameras or anything. He's a genuine, very nice person. And even though he had his little beef with Uriah and them and Team Alpha Male, he was still super nice to me, knowing that I trained with him and stuff. So I'm excited for this fight. I haven't met, I don't know.
Jose Aldo?
I'm excited for this, and I'm okay with you winning. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I am too. And what you just said about Connor, that's everybody's takeaway. Once you meet him and hang out with you, everybody comes away and goes, man, that was a really nice guy. That's not the guy we saw on camera. That's just a nice, down-to-earth, calm. He's very calm when you meet him, when the lights and the cameras aren't on. He's a real gentleman.
He is, yeah. I went out to dinner with him, a big group of the Reebok people, and his girlfriend is super, super nice. So I'm excited for this fight.
Yeah, and when he came out of the ring after his last fight, he beat Dennis Seaver. He jumped over the cage and ran into the crowd against Aldo. I thought that was one of the single greatest marketing pieces in the history of the UFC. I thought it was brilliant and was probably about a $3 million move right there. I think that will probably move the needle, 3 to 5 million buys just on that move alone. And I don't know who helps him with his stuff, if he writes all of his own material or if he, I don't know, but goddamn, he can perform it better than anybody I've seen. I mean, he can walk out there, grab a microphone, and light the house on fire.
He can, and you know, and he gets the business, and he completely gets it, and I'm excited to see how far he can take all this.
I was doing a Q&A in England one. Are you familiar with those? Have you seen where they do a Q&A like before the weigh-in? They bring somebody out, and then you just get asked questions from the crowd?
Yeah, I have seen those.
All right, so I go all the way to England to do a Q&A. That's not exactly an easy trip for a guy from Westland, Oregon. So I go all the way to England. I'm doing my Q&A. I'm having a great time. You know, I'm getting the crowd fired up. And he crashes my Q&A. Him and Bisping had a couple of whiskeys in the back, and next thing I know, they come from the back onto the stage with microphones. But it was hilarious. It created this hilarious moment. You know, he was so good. And Michael Bisping's not taking a back seat to anybody in the, you know, vocal department either. That guy can cut an interview. And it turned into a pretty cool moment. And I had a lot of fun with him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, Paige. Well, I will let you move on with your day unless you got anything else for us. You got anything to share? Now that I've made you make predictions against your own team, which wasn't my intent, it's just Uriah's got a huge fight coming up, so I apologize for that.
This is the fight of the century. I'm excited for this fight.
I like that. That's the line right there that more people need to be saying that. They need to be calling their fight the fight of the century. Go tell Uriah that line. He should tweet that out now.
I will. All right.
All right, you're awesome. Thanks for everything, Paige.
Yep, thanks so much.
All right, well, that was it. Paige VanZant, what a cool girl. What a cool and bubbly girl. Just came out of CrossFit. Gosh, those workouts suck. I've done so many CrossFit workouts. Those are so difficult. But you know when I won't be doing them? I won't be doing them on the weekend because I'll be enjoying myself, which you could do too. Even if you're in the market for a new car, all you have to do is download a free app, the True Car mobile app. In 5 minutes, True Car's app not only lets you build the car of your dream, it will tell you what other people paid for that exact same car, and then you can lock in a guaranteed savings, usually about $3,000 off the MSRP. Get your weekends back. Don't go out to a car lot and roam around for a whole Saturday and then go back on Sunday to get the car. Get it done from home. That's what the True Car mobile app is all about. Get your weekends back and get the car you want without overpaying. Save time, save money. Never overpay. Download the True Car mobile app today. That's my final plug of the show. I had a great time today. I had a great time catching up with John, visiting with Paige, and entertaining all of you who are very wise for tuning in. I hope you all have a wonderful Wednesday. I will see you next week. Same Chael Sonnen time. Same Chael Sonnen channel. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.